We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Touchdown Bears.
Rich Campbell.
I really can't answer that, Rich. I'm not going to go through a dissertation like that, Rich.
Covering the Bears for the Chicago Tribune.
You guys are going to be as negative as possible, and we understand that.
All the latest news and notes from Halas Hall.
Hey, it's Dirk.
Good morning, coach.
Hey, good morning, Dirk.
Man, you guys are fired up.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Rich Campbell with Bernstein and Goff on 670 The Score.
If you know the Score's afternoon show, you know that Mondays after Bears games this year at this time, 5 o'clock, you will hear this man, Rich Campbell of the Chicago Tribune, part of the Tribune's Bear coverage team. He's at Rich_Campbell on Twitter, and he's on the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at Grossinger.com. Hello, Rich.
This is a grade A firing squad I'm facing right here. Bring it. Bring it on. Let's do it.
Now, please. So at least you know.
Sure, you can have the blindfold and the cigarette, and then
I'll
you
take
can.
It.
Then you can explain
Would John Fox know how a blindfold works, though,
yeah.
If he can figure out how eclipse glasses
was
work?
Was he looking for the light switch on the sunglasses during the eclipse?
Well, I think Rosie would say he's got the blindfold on when he's watching his quarterbacks. Would I be correct in that assessment,
yes.
Rosie?
Yes, it would. John Fox, your plane is boarding because it looks like he's walking back the idea. He didn't dismiss out of hand that Mitch Trubisky would be taking number one snaps. Is that the way you read it? Share with the class, Rich.
Yeah. You know, and Zaidman and I talked about this for a little bit after Fox spoke, and I know you spoke to him in the last hour. So I won't regurgitate what Zach said. I do think it's noteworthy that for, you know, every opportunity the Bears, the coaching staff and management has had since Mitch Trubisky was drafted, every opportunity they've had to delineate between Glennon and Trubisky and make sure that pecking order is very clear publicly, he did not take that opportunity today to really just squash that. So it's going to linger for 2 days until we come back to Halas Hall and see what they're doing out here. That said, you know, Trubisky played okay on Saturday night. There were a couple throws that I think the Bears even recognized were dangerous. They weren't intercepted, but he had a third down throw near the Bears' sideline that was tipped up, and the Cardinals' defender dove for it, could have made an interception there. So it wasn't as clean as the Broncos game. And I think if they do an honest evaluation here, they're going to come to the same conclusion they have been, which is that they believe Mike Glennon gives them the best chance to win. And so we keep going. And that question is just going to continue to be asked, who gives them the best chance to win? And the reason I say that is, you know, let's be real about what this season is for this coaching staff. They've got to win to stay here. So for as much as Ryan Pace wants to keep Trubisky in the incubator, I really think this coaching staff is going to play whoever they believe in. And it's telling that right now, at least, it remains Mike Glennon.
What does Mike Glennon do well?
He gives way to Mitch Trubisky.
No, I'm serious. I'm serious. Like, when you talk about managing a game or being smart or staying within the game plan, he's throwing the ball away. He's staring down receivers. And without great athletic talent I don't see it. What does he do?
I can't, you know, I think that's a fair question. All of them are. And he hasn't shown anything in the game yet. And that's what I think is so troubling to the Bears is that all the conversation so far centers on the leadership and the command and sort of the intangibles of this. But when you look at Glennon's history, in the 4 years before he came here, there were at least some footholds to grab onto. Most notably, the fact he had thrown 30 touchdowns to 15 interceptions. It's a 2-to-1 touchdown-interception ratio, which is not terrible. Well, so far, you know, as a Bear, in two preseason games, he's 0 touchdowns and 2 picks. And the picks have been glaring, right? Going in to the end zone the other night, gets returned into Bears territory, and then obviously the pick six in the first game. So I'm with you. He has so much to prove here. Now, what is he working with from a receiver standpoint? I think that's part of the equation. You know, is Mitch gonna step in with these ones hypothetically, and suddenly Kevin White's gonna get open consistently, and Cam Meredith is gonna be this threat all over the field? I think, you know, I can guess Rosie's answer. There's only one way to find out.
Yes, but, it is, and that's the truth, because there is only one way to find out, to let him do it. And he's a guy, for all the criticisms or all the reports that you and Weeder and Biggs have been talking about, and Zach, about the performance and practice, some guys are better when it matters. And you have to find out, for your team's sake, against ones and with ones. You have to know that about Trubisky, I think, anyways.
Well, I do think you've hit on an important point there, and that is the sentiment of the locker room. Because, as we all know from different quarterback controversies around the league, you know, over the years, that's one way a head coach can lose his locker room, if he's not playing a guy that the locker room believes in. And every indication that we've gotten, you know, reporting, is that Glennon has this locker room. He has the support of the locker room. And that's really important for him to keep. Obviously, the best way and the safest way for him to keep that is to play better. He's got to play better. But it's worth taking the temperature on at different increments as we go here, especially when the results aren't making it a sure thing. That's an important deal. I mean, these guys are in meetings behind the scenes. There's things that we don't see as far as decision-making and the way, you know, Glennon and other people go about their business. It all goes into an evaluation that the coaches, that they make all the time, and we're just going to have to keep pressing on it, because until we see it on the field, I'm with you guys. That question is a fair one.
We should clarify that Mike Glennon has made your eyes bleed, but he did throw a TD pass to Wright, read the blitz, and got the miraculously released the ball in time to get the touchdown. So he's got a 1-2 TD interception ratio.
Oh, that's true. That is true. Yeah.
And yet it's the kind of thing we've been arguing in the sandbox. So I'll run this by you, Rich. There are two things at stake here. One is Ryan Pace made a rookie mistake as a GM. He made a silly promise, a promise you can't make, a promise where there's no competition at quarterback. And now there are times where John Fox looks like he's falling on that grenade, at the risk of being a coach who stands by the idea that you're in a production-based business, so you better produce. Mike Glennon hasn't produced. And I think he's protecting his GM, who made a stupid decision. So that's one of the fights. Do you believe that? Do you think there's anything to that?
Well, I would just say that whenever anyone, a team employee, says there's no competition, I just don't believe it. I mean, it's always competition. And I understood why Ryan said that, because I think he wanted Glennon to feel empowered with taking command of the opportunity he had so he would do well. But I think the subtext to that, whether Pace said it or not, I don't think he needed to say it, is that if Trubisky came out and played great, then the Bears are going to play the best quarterback they have. And I think Pace was just trying to set realistic expectations. I see what you're getting at. To me, I think that Trubisky is in a competition with himself. He just has to prove that he's capable of commanding the offense, and when he does, he'll play. And the coaches will know it, and the front office will know it, and it'll be obvious. And I just don't think from two preseason games we can say it's obvious, because there's just so many whitewashed variables in the preseason with teams not game planning and the Bears not game planning and this guy's not playing with the starters and all that. So I hear what you're saying. I would just say that there's always competition. So when Ryan said that, you know, it just still to me was just a matter of time.
But Dan had written, he summoned up the name at the risk of all of us going blind, Rick Meyer. And what you're talking about with Ryan Pace saying that to encourage, to give confidence, the thing with Rick Meyer, as Dan pointed out in his piece on CBSLocal.com.
It was here, 670, or Sports.
This is Score.
It was the Score website, and it was CBSChicago.com.
That Rick Meyer needed it, that he was that fragile mentally and emotionally. And are there concerns about the mental, emotional fragility of Mike Glennon? Concerns by the coaching staff or the front office?
Well, I think that from the moment they drafted Trubisky and had Mike out there at the draft party for that bombshell to come his way, that, yeah, that there needed to be, for Glennon's sake and by extension the sake of the first-team offense, there needed to be an effort on the team's part to try to earn his trust and to make sure that he felt empowered. And whether that's fragility or you know, just management, I think it's been a concerted effort. I think we can all see the ways that the front office and the coaches have gone out of their way, you know, like I said, to make this clear, make the pecking order clear that it's Mike's team. Now, you know, is it as much about Mike as it is other players? So other players understand the direction, so other players know who to get behind? That might be it. You know, I think there are a lot of different factors involved here, but what it amounts to, I think you guys are onto something, that the Bears are obviously making a very clear attempt to prop Mike up and to hope, you know, with the hopes of that bringing the best out of him.
See, to me, Rich, then it's already over.
This career is over.
Once you're at the point, this is NFL quarterback. This isn't like, you know, some youth hockey player or something. This is an NFL quarterback. The moment you begin having the internal and external discussion about the maintenance of confidence and mental stability, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me, you're done. You know, this thing you're talking, do they say this? Do they, about Aaron Rodgers? I mean, any number of good NFL quarterbacks, oh, well, we got to build his confidence. Let's call some, that's a conservative play calling arrangement just so he feels good. I mean, what are you looking at?
Yeah, well, so you can see how this works, right? That if that was the plan, if that was really how the strategy was verbalized, if it was, that part of that is Glennon goes out and justifies it all, and he plays well enough and operates with the type of savvy and command that we expect him to, and so this never becomes a problem. The problem surfaces when they don't play well, when he's not playing to the evaluation, the off-season free agency evaluation of his ability was, because we can see it out here, the bad decision making and you know, the bad execution. He hasn't been accurate, and obviously the interceptions, the decision making has been bad. That's not what they were counting on. So then you've got to consider, did they misevaluate him? And I would say concluding that through three quarters of preseason football is premature, but it's certainly the question that's going to dog him into the regular season and dog the Bears into the regular season. And oh, by the way, it's the Falcons, Buccaneers, Steelers, and Packers that are going to be the measuring stick that question goes up against. So it's a rough ride. But, yeah, I'm with you. He just hasn't – Glennon can answer all of these questions if he plays well. And then when he doesn't, that's when it gets messy. And obviously that's where we are right now.
We're talking to Rich Campbell of my Chicago Tribune, talking Chicago Bears.
Did you buy it?
Finally, it is.
You bought Trunk?
When you have a subscription, it says My Tribune, My Chicago Tribune. So that's why I call it that. He's there. He's right there on that page. I subscribe to Rich Campbell. So the offensive line, where is it? What shape is it in? How far is what we saw Saturday from what we might see against Atlanta?
Well, the real question is just about Kyle Long and what he's able to do and how soon he's able to do it. And I would just say, from my vantage point, as we look ahead towards September 10th, I don't think anyone can say with any certainty that Kyle Long is going to be a part of that offensive line.
Then shut him down. You know what? Shut him down and let him get healthy.
But he's not on PUP, so he's going to take up a roster spot for you. So basically, you know, he could still be out here and he can work with the trainers and he can do whatever he needs to do from a rehab standpoint. He can do it out on the field. You know, it's not like they're grinding him out. Even when we were at training camp, allowed to watch practice and report on what's going on out there, he was only taking very, very small nibbles of team drills. So he still wasn't, you know, in it and sort of having these setbacks back and forth. It's still baby steps. So to go back to your question, Rosie, about the O-line, you know, I thought they protected Glennon better the other night. than against the Broncos. The Broncos have, obviously have a very good pass rush. Even their non-star players were harassing Glennon and disruptive. The running game was kind of an interesting showcase the other night, because there were times when the blocking broke down and Tariq Cohen's speed sort of bailed them out and made them look good. Like, there was no lane inside and he's fast enough to bounce it out and take the edge. So I think it's a work in progress. I'm not convinced that Peronis Grassou is the answer at center.
He looked light again. Every time I see him, he's not packing a punch. And then once he's moved off his spot, he stays off his spot.
It's very easy to see when you're watching these games that, like the Cardinals broadcast did the other night, where they've got the red line of scrimmage for you. They mark on the screen the line of scrimmage with the red line, you know, opposite the first down line, and you can see when he's 2 or 3 yards back on a running play. And so there you have it. It's right in front of you, right? So they're still looking for options. They're still looking for plan B, whether it's Tom Compton at guard or Grassou at center and Whitehair at guard. It's unsettled. It's unsettled.
And Tariq Cohen behind that line with a quarterback who can't average 5 yards of completion was even more terrific than his electric performance would lead you, that you originally thought. He was even better behind that line.
Yeah, he might be more
with
than
that quarterback.
He might be more than a toy football player.
Yeah, but my only concern with him, I don't mean to be a total cynic or a buzzkill, is when a
guy. It's my job.
Mine too.
Yeah, I know. take a note on this one, Rosie. Take a note on this one, that when a guy whose entire game is predicated on speed, like Tariq's is, he's got to be 100% healthy in the lower body. I mean, as soon as you get that knock in the lower body and you just lose that quickness a little bit, what do you rely on? Now, that said, Cohen's healthy, and he looks to be a contributor right away. I mean, with Jeremy Langford still not into team drills fully, Cohen's going to be an asset for this team, and he just has to prove that he can catch the ball and that he can pass block on third downs, and then he's your third down back all the time. And they can flex him out in the red zone and try to get him in space and get the ball to him that way. I think there's a lot of ways they can use him. And so he is one thing that this offense has going for it. I've said this a few times. One of my biggest questions, if I were giving you top five questions about the 2017 Bears, maybe number one is, who's going to score for them? You know, who's going to score points for them? They are so short on these types of guys, and I think Cohen can score points. He's on a short list, so I'm with you. It was impressive the other night, even with you know, that conservative passing game and the patchwork offensive line.
All right, Rich, looking forward to hearing you in this spot all football season. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. Thanks, guys.
That is Rich Campbell of the Chicago Tribune, brought to you by Jimmy John's. Freaky fast, freaky fresh. Jimmy John's makes fresh, fast, tasty sandwiches. Homemade bread is served freshly baked, and locally purchased veggies and all natural meats are hand-sliced daily. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meet. Bottom of the hour, we will bring you It's On and look at what's available for your viewing pleasure this evening in sports and otherwise. The Bernstein and Goff Show with Steve Rosenblum sitting in today on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
So now, I guess it's on.
It's on.
Oh, it's on.
It's on.
It's on.
It's on, okay? It's on.
There are no Cubs tonight. They're, right now, the Chicago White Sox are on, and I imagine will be on, but I think you have to really love youth baseball and the over-commercialization of youth baseball to take in many of the games that are on from Williamsport, as that is starting to heat up, and I have kind of developed a distaste for it. I get plenty of youth baseball.
Yes, and you do.
Fall ball has already started, and they're the Montgomery. What are the Biscuits? The team from
Mitch Trubisky?
No, it's the Rays AA team. The something Biscuits, and they got a goofy logo and the whole thing.
Missed that one.
And the pitching coach for the actual Biscuits, his brother is my son's fall ball coach, so they've decided
Rush with greatness.
They've decided to be the Biscuits, and I'm going to get plenty of youth baseball, so I'm not going to watch that. I will watch some White Sox, and MLB Net, I believe, has Red Sox and Indians, So there's that starting at 6 o'clock. But you have NFL exhibition football. If you want it, the Giants at the Browns.
We have Orange is the New Black.
There you go.
We're binging, not binging that. I can't binge anything. I can watch three one-hour episodes a night. That's about it.
That's a lot.
Well, we're into it. And so that's where we're headed now, is Orange is the New Black. I'm not as thrilled with it as I was in previous seasons. But that's what I imagine is on tap.
Okay. On the other side of the glass, weighing in first will be Nick Shepkowski.
It's on, so I'll watch it because it's football.
Different segment. But it's on, so I'll watch it.
That's what the problem is tonight, though, when you take the Cubs out of the equation right now.
Right.
It's on because it's on, and I guess I'll watch it. And it's Monday Night Football, Browns and Giants this evening. That's more, I guess, just because it's football, and they're talking about football in the background, and you're not really paying much attention to what's actually going on. But that is what I will be at least tuned into for a couple minutes.
Wow. You're an honest man because you must really love
football. It's kind of like a Sox game right now. Like, you really have to like the product or like the sport in order to sit through it. And I'm not saying I'm going to sit through it all night, but it'll at least be on.
Now, with that, is Michael Kopech getting set?
Of course. Okay. Why even ask? I mean, it's Michael Kopech night, and they're playing the Norfolk Tides, the Charlotte Knights are. So looking forward to that. Catch that early, and then a little Ray Donovan after. Now, this is a huge deal that Michael Kopech is now in AAA, because that means the broadcast quality is so much better than the AA feed. Because the AA feed looked like it was like voyeurism. It just happened to be like, you know, someone snuck a camera into the ballpark to watch these guys play.
Scramble porn.
But this
I
is
can
like
see you.
Yeah, but on the AAA feed, they've got stats and graphics. It's much more like MLB quality. So this is a huge deal.
Wait, doesn't the AA team have an actual television broadcast?
Well, with the times that I watched, it was like the radio feed overlapped with the video feed
dog
from behind.
With a GoPro.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it depends on where they're playing, I guess. But most of the time, it was not good.
Okay, I guess I thought the AA'd come a little further in some of those medium-sized markets that were able to do television production. I guess I'm wrong.
Most of it is in football country, so I can't believe it matters down there. And we're getting reports that it's a Montgomery Biscuits.
Montgomery Textures. Biscuits. Yes, that's it. It's a cool, silly little logo. And why not?
So I have, as long as we've been discussing food almost exclusively off the air, I never got the memo. The food should be this. Steak should be charred.
Right.
Everything should have bacon.
Mm-hmm.
And if it has cheese, it needs more cheese. The gooier, the better.
Except pizza. You can easily over-cheese a pizza and break the ratio.
No. You can do pizza that way, and it just becomes more wonderful.
Okay.
The more grease.
No, because okay. I think the crust and the sauce should be the star of the pizza.
Here's where I need to make a confession. I didn't get the memo on queso fundido. I never realized it was alive. It never gave me a memo. It never sent me its number. And I never, because every time we go into a Mexican place, it's
okay.
Guacamole. Bring over the guacamole. Okay. There's our app.
Real, authentic queso fundido. Not
with chorizo.
Not like Texas, right. I'm not talking like Texas-style queso.
No, I'm talking queso fundido with chorizo and either chips or, and then we had it Saturday night at a place in Wilmette called Nuevo Depot.
Okay.
It used to be a train station.
See what they did there? New train station. But in Spanish.
Margaritas were excellent. And queso fundido that's not an appetizer. That's a meal. That's a little.
It's a lifestyle if
bacon,
you're doing it.
Bacon
jalapeno,
is God's
cilantro.
Food. Bacon is God's food, and this is a family member. This is an MOT.
You do have to eat it relatively quickly because the consistency will begin to congeal to a point where you got to get
but
at it
the
right
one thing,
when they set it down.
They served it in the cast iron that we were talking about earlier, so you get all the crispy cheese around the rim.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I was late to this. I don't know. I looked
I
missed it. It's, you know, melted 2014 just went by.
I believe it's literally fundido from the same
fun.
Latin
we
root.
Put the fun in fundido.
I'm the same as fondue, right? Isn't it, I'm sure it's
melted.
It's literally
cheese.
Melted cheese.
It's melted cheese.
No, that's queso cheese. That's different. But no, it melted cheese.
Yes.
In a pot
with chorizo.
With chorizo in it.
And there are other
and
things you could do to it.
You hadn't heard of this?
No, I never investigated it because once we had the guacamole, we were done. That was it.
Why be done?
Because we were going on to the other side, like the molcajete.
Ooh, I love a good
one. La Casa de Isaac in Highwood. Order molcajete at La Casa de Isaac.
I'm not going to Highland Park for my Mexican food.
No, this is Highwood.
I live on the northwest side of Chicago.
You know what? Fine. Then I'll go with your parents. I'll go with your parents.
Take them. They love a night out. You and Luscious and my parents go get Mexican. Get a molcajete.
And you know what? We found this out. They keep kosher. They observe the Sabbath.
Oh, I've heard of this place.
Yes.
It's up near Fort Sheridan, right?
Yes.
My parents love that place.
Right. They should.
Yes.
But you're not invited because you're just a little bastard about it, okay?
No. They've talked about it. They've been there.
We love it.
They said it's spectacular.
The molcajete is the best I've ever had. So we made reservations for a Saturday night. And we thought.
How long did you wait?
Well, we waited until the sun went down, until Shabbat ended.
Uh-huh.
And then they opened the door. And it was about 7:30 for what we thought was a 7 o'clock reservation. And the best thing about this, because we were all part of the first seating, it was like being on a cruise. You're at the first seating, is they're bringing you the chips right out of the fryer. They don't get any fresher than that. They weren't using yesterday's chips. They were all fresh. It's a great place.
It should be. I will tell you this, though. That the here's the problem, and this is
there's no problem.
This is
the problem would be if you tried to be a part of this visit.
I am about to create the Rosenblum culinary logical fallacy.
Well, I didn't know I had one.
Yeah, based on what you just laid out about your rules, okay? Because for me, if I'm going to order molcajete, and if you don't know, that's the stone bowl. I want to say it's like there's like an Aztec.
One that they would mortar pestle. They would make your guacamole in.
But instead, they bake almost fajita style a selection of the meats and vegetables of
actually,
your choice.
It is meat fundido.
Well,
that's really with cheese.
Correct. But for me, the realest molcajete is ranchero style, which includes bacon, a lot of bacon, rustic bacon, which you cannot get at that restaurant because they keep kosher.
Well, you can get pork there, so why can't you get bacon?
I thought you couldn't.
I thought you got pork. I thought Luscious and I settled that last time.
No,
you can't.
It's kosher.
Oh. I know. Well, they're supposed to be that they might keep
they
it. I don't think they're serving it.
I thought there were certain things. I don't know. I don't know if they're. I don't know if they're back there throwing bacon around.
You just make your culinary crap again.
I thought I found. It's possible I'm wrong, but I thought I found something that would somehow create a break in the space time continuum of Rosie.
And all I will say is that's how good their food is that I didn't even miss the bacon. Bacon is.
Well, they,
necessary.
Even people who keep kosher at some point need to understand that part of it's kind of wrong.
Yeah, it is. It's so outdated.
Yeah, you got that.
The whole
part
idea
wrong.
Of keeping kosher
even,
is
even if you
outdated.
Think that if the whole all of it, if it came from some divine source, whatever that source was, they would admit any
it's
real
not bottom feeders anymore.
Any real God would admit they're wrong.
Look,
about that.
Their taco plate is asada pollo chorizo.
Okay, well maybe you can get bacon there. Maybe I'm wrong. All right. But I'm telling
you, the
best molcajete is ranchero style. And I had it in Cabo, and I'd never had it before, and that's the only way I'm ever ordering it. Until
okay, well, you go there.
Objectively.
After the sun goes down for Shabbat, you can order it there.
I am starving right now. This segment brought to you.
So we've been talking about food off air the whole time.
Go-Go Squeeze. Things are so different today. Kids have turned down snack time trades because of Go-Go Squeeze. All natural, just 100% orchard fresh apples and other wholesome fruit. Kids love it. So will yours. Go-Go Squeeze. We love Lawrence Holmes. He's next on The Score. This segment brought to you by Spot Hero. Finally, here's a way you can save time. Use Spot Hero anytime you park downtown. First time users can enter promo code CITY for $10 off. Spot Hero. Park smarter. It is going to be Bears All Access from 6 to 7, but after that, this man is going to be here from 7 to 10. A little extra airtime now for Lawrence Holmes. Hello, Lawrence.
Hello, men.
You watched the eclipse?
No.
I didn't either. We were in here.
It was cloudy, so there was really no point. I didn't feel like making the pinhole camera or whatever and doing it, so no.
So that came and went.
It was on TV, too, so I mean, you had better views of it from what was happening on the West Coast and what was happening on the East Coast where there's a clearer view. people in this area kind of got screwed.
So it's like a Bears game where you're better off not really bothering and watching what you need to watch on television.
And Tom Skilling cries at the end of that too.
Tom was got emotional. He got emotional. I get it. You know, I mean, it's setting up for something, and hopefully he'll be around 7 years from now when it happens again.
Maybe it's a recognition of one's own mortality.
Absolutely.
When you just start to realize, like, this is these are large.
You won't be around for
planetary,
the next one.
Right. Yeah. Whether it was, you know, the comets or the members of the comets or this.
Jeez.
This is wait, you said the next one's only 7 years?
Yeah, 2024.
Oh, okay. Well, I'd like to be around for that one.
I would hope so. I want to talk to you both about your Bears thoughts.
Yes.
Here's what all of us that are observing the Bears have to stop doing. We need to stop viewing Trubisky as in competition with Mike Glennon. We need to not make that the bar for him starting. What you have to figure out is he prepared to play an NFL game?
That was what Zach was trying to say, I think.
And he's 100% right.
But it's still in the context of Glennon as long as Glennon's there.
To me, it's not even Trubisky versus Glennon, because Trubisky is going to end up with the job eventually. It's Trubisky versus Sanchez. I'm sorry, Glennon versus Sanchez. Because if you're John Fox, which one of those guys has the better pro resume? Mark Sanchez does, by a mile. And he's looked like he's been in control of what's going on when he's been out there in games and practices. I don't want to judge Mitch Trubisky on the scale of Mike Glennon, because he should win. He's the number two pick in the draft. He should already be better than Mike Glennon.
If he's not better than Mike Glennon, it was a terrible trade,
yes,
and an awful pick.
Correct. Right. So we have got to stop looking at this as, well, you know, he's been better than Mike Glennon has. Yeah, so is Sanchez. So is just about every other quarterback.
Okay. Is there a way to take Steve's point? I totally understand what you're saying, but isn't there a way to have the context of the theoretical idea of competition, regardless of what you think the ceiling is for Trubisky right now? It does still matter what the team is saying versus what they're doing about best chance to win.
The problem with what you're saying, Lawrence, is it's not Trubisky with and against the ones the way it is with Glennon. You know what? Here's exactly why it's him versus Glennon. Because when Glennon's out there, you have no idea if Kevin White's in uniform. You might see Trubisky figure out that's where Cam Meredith is down the field. That's where Kevin White is down the field. And you're not going to have both safeties creeping up in the box and having 10 men in the box because this quarterback could throw downfield.
But why is that important for the 2017 season? Like, what's the rush?
Because Glennon was promised the job and he's the starter, so you can only compete with the guy who's ahead of you.
They've told you that there is no competition. They've shown it to you for the exact reason that you're
just
talking about.
They walked it back today because he's giving consideration. He didn't dismiss out of hand the idea that Mitch Trubisky could get reps with and against the ones in Tennessee.
I think there's nothing wrong with him getting reps with the ones. Nothing.
Yes, there would, because your coach doesn't have an idea of how it wouldn't be an affront to Glennon.
His feelings are...
Yeah, again, I said get over the promise thing.
His feelings...
Promises get broken.
Don't matter that much to me. I mean, I'm not trying to be a cold-hearted snake, Paula Abdul. I'm just
into his eyes.
That's right. I'm just saying that that I don't want to push Trubisky to a place where he's not supposed to be just because he happens to be better than a career backup. I think that there is real danger in caving to the things that, whether they see it in practice or on film, and saying, well, he's at least better than this guy, we got to throw him out there. Well, I think Glennon might be the third best quarterback on your roster right now. And if you're trying to win games this year...
Well, I want to find out how dumb Ryan Pace is then.
I still don't know what Glennon does well to help you do that.
Now we're talking about something. Because it makes me a little bit leery of Ryan Pace's scouting ability, that this is the guy that they went out and got and said, this is our guy. This is the guy that's going to come in and hold things down until we get our next quarterback.
So good we're going to bid against ourselves for him.
Right. You guys checked out All or Nothing?
It's got to be.
on Amazon. It's the show where it's like Hard Knocks, but they follow it throughout the season. Episodes 6, 7, and 8 with the LA Rams last year. And one of the pieces of the episode is the draft and the Bears trading up for Trubisky and everyone in the Rams war room looking around going, oh, so yeah.
They weren't going to take
So what? They took Jared Goff. What do they know?
But you know but that's, and you know what?
That's the point. Because
Jared
Les,
Goff has not looked terrible.
Les Snead said.
Jared Goff is not. There you go. Mike Glennon's report after game two.
One of the things that Les Snead said is that I understand jumping for a quarterback when you have a position of need.
We thank our guests, Len Casper, Zach Zaidman, Rich Campbell. They all joined us today. We thank our video director, Brian Gertsch.
There is 1 second remaining on the game, in the half. 1 second remaining in the half.
Okay. The Bears were on the field heading for the locker room. John Fox can't understand it.
He doesn't know how eclipse glasses work. He's going to understand the timekeeping issue.
Where's the on-off switch?
We thank Nick Shepkowski.
Everybody else I know has a World Series ring. I think I deserve one. Posted a picture yesterday on Twitter. From my vending days, I was quite the vendor. Most valuable vendor, MVV, 1979, 1981, 1983.
83. I knew you'd find that one from yesterday.
All those things, picture of the young, handsome Barry Rosner so many, many, many years ago. We thank the audio overlord, Chris Tannehill.
A couple of interesting Buccaneers out there. That's Riley Bulla, number 49, tackling machine at Michigan State.
Sack machine.
One of the stars of Hard Knocks, too, Riley Bulla. Odd-looking man.
Shocking that he would be a star of Hard Knocks.
And surprisingly good singer. Blew away the room with his singing ability.
Yeah.
Rosie, thank you. This is fun.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Jason,
I'm from Marcy. I'm varsity. Jump your JV.
Jason will be back tomorrow, as long as there's no travel issues. Lawrence after Bears All Access, and we'll talk tomorrow. Goodbye.
I say, man, I won't go home, man.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.